I'm Dr. Orion Teraban, and this is PsychHacks, Better Living Through Psychology. And the topic of today's short talk is Every Woman is Two Women. This is very important for all men to appreciate. More accurately, each woman is at least two women. But today we're going to focus on the two women that absolutely live inside of every woman. The first woman is the public-facing persona. This is the woman that you know and interact with on the job or in the community or on a date. And the second woman is the bedroom persona. This is the woman that you only ever meet behind closed doors in the context of a sexual encounter. And these two women are not the same women. Sometimes not even close. And I'm going to be talking about some of the repercussions of this dichotomy in today's talk. In the first place, you need to understand that I'm talking about the bedroom metaphorically, not the literal physical location, which is present in one spot, but a contextual location, which is present whenever and wherever sex occurs. Now, when it comes to sexuality, the bedroom is like the Wild West, and it will kind of always be like that. Connected as it is to reproduction, and therefore to life itself, sex will never, ever be wholly civilized. After all, all's fair in love and war, which is to say that where survival is at stake, either through life or death, we acknowledge that all bets are off. This is why the bedroom is kind of an anything goes type of territory, with very few, if any, rules that govern what actually goes down. In any case, there's the public-facing persona and the bedroom persona, and they're not the same person, for all intents and purposes. Just like it would be inappropriate to engage the public-facing persona sexually, even if you were in a sexual relationship with that woman, it's kind of inappropriate to engage the bedroom persona non-sexually. Either one is likely going to lead to complaints and hurt feelings. It's like the public-facing persona has to be treated in a certain way, and the bedroom persona has to be treated in a certain other way, each after its own fashion. And this is important for men to remember for a number of reasons. First and foremost, it's actually very, very difficult to tell what a woman's bedroom persona will be until you get her in the bedroom. Even through careful observation of her public-facing persona, it will be difficult to predict what she's going to be like behind closed doors. From my own experience, there are girls who seem to be squeaky clean on the outside, like they seem conventional, innocent, even pure, nice girls who, to look at them, you might think they had never even had a naughty thought, but who are the nastiest, freakiest girls imaginable when the curtains have been drawn. By the same token, there are some women who look totally wild. They're all tatted up with provocative clothing and edgy attitudes, but who are fairly timid and conservative when you get them in the bedroom. The upshot is that the public-facing persona rarely affords good, consistent information with respect to the bedroom persona. And women, I think, often don't adequately appreciate how difficult it is for most men to navigate this dichotomy. For better or worse, we tend to think that how she is out in public is more or less how she is going to be in the bedroom. And this misunderstanding causes both men and women to miss out on all kinds of potentially satisfying relationships. Now, before I go any further, if you're liking what you're hearing, then please consider sending this episode to someone who might benefit from its message, because it's word-of-mouth referrals like this that really help to make the channel grow. I'm also proud to announce that I'll soon be publishing my book, The Value of Others. So if you'd like to learn more about that, then you can go to my website and sign up for my weekly newsletter. Finally, please fill out an inquiry form on my website if you're interested in booking a paid consultation. The link is in the description. Okay, let's get back to it. Probably one of the most common instances of this fallacy, this conflation of the public-facing and the bedroom personas, is the phenomenon of the boss bitch. So there are a lot of women in the West today who are doing very well, at least from the standpoint of material success. Many are competent and accomplished, and they have attained to positions of power and authority in all kinds of organizations. Now, the public-facing personas of these women tend to be more masculine or assertive because those traits functionally help them to compete successfully in the professional arena. However, it would be a mistake to assume that this is how these same women necessarily behave behind closed doors. In fact, Many of these women are looking to relax into their feminine, if not be outright dominated, in their sexual relationships. The issue is that men kind of assume that the public-facing persona is isomorphic with the bedroom persona. And this scares a lot of guys off, not because these women intimidate, like men are not afraid of these women, but because assertiveness and competitiveness isn't what the vast majority of men are seeking in their intimate relationships. Most guys want to be in the dominant role vis-a-vis their women. And they think, ugh, it's going to be a power struggle every time I try to take the lead here. And they pass these women over. And this is potentially unfortunate because it's actually quite possible that the woman might want the same thing as the man. But that's not the vibe she's putting off with her public-facing persona. So she's got a marketing problem on her hands. Now, some women are inappropriately competitive with their men, and some women are going to feel more comfortable in the driver's seat. But I would say that most women actually want the man to wear the pants in the relationship. So guys, it's important to remember that how she behaves out in public is not necessarily how she's going to behave behind closed doors. And ladies, it's important to remember you're potentially dealing with a target audience who finds it difficult to remember that. The same thing goes for women who seem too pure for this world. Men might pass them by because they might think, well, I'm full of all these depraved sexual desires, and there's no way this woman would go in for that. However, that isn't necessarily true either. And in general, the more a woman is attracted to you, the more she's going to be willing to at least try out certain things in the bedroom. Trust me, it's often the case that women are even freakier than the men they get involved with. So try not to make assumptions about her desires before they're warranted. Now, a deep appreciation of this fact will start to mess with your conceptualization of women, because I'm telling you, every woman is these two women. That means your sisters are these two women. Your mothers are these two women. All of your female classmates and colleagues and neighbors are these two women. Every woman on this planet possesses these two versions of themselves. And this means that every woman on this planet has to learn how to navigate this ambiguity within themselves, especially because women receive all kinds of conflicting messages about their sexuality from society. Some women attempt to resolve this ambiguity by just collapsing the dichotomy. They're hyper-controlled and generally hyper-controlling, and they try to civilize the bedroom as much as possible. There is no Wild West anymore, just law and order all the time under a vigilant surveillance state. Yay. On the other hand, there are women, usually young women, who collapse the dichotomy in the opposite direction. They're underregulated with poor boundaries and inappropriately sexualized interactions that have no business being sexual. With these women, it's only the Wild West and anything goes, which will eventually motivate you to develop vigilant surveillance, as you won't otherwise know when you're about to be ambushed. As might be expected, neither one of these situations is particularly ideal. And most women resolve this ambiguity by kind of compartmentalizing the two in different dimensions of reality. But that leads to the misunderstanding that I discussed earlier in this episode. And this is also a big part of why sexual relationships are generally a roll of the dice, which I will discuss more in future episodes. What do you think? Does this fit with your own experience? Let me know in the comments below. As always, I appreciate your support and thank you for listening. And now, a word about Stellar. If you're interested in pursuing a master's degree or a doctorate, chances are good that you'll have to take the GRE. Now, before I became a psychologist, I was actually one of the world's top GRE test prep instructors. Over 20 years, I developed a unique and practical system for dismantling every aspect of this test, and I helped thousands of students achieve top percentile scores on the exam. Today, students can learn the same system I used to achieve my own perfect score with Stellar GRE, my online GRE self-study program. I personally wrote and designed every aspect of this course. Among other things, it includes a 500-page test prep manual, thousands of practice problems, and several full-length mock exams. just like my episodes. Stellar is designed to give students the strategies and techniques they need to succeed as clearly and succinctly as possible. And the best part is, Stellar works. My students' average score improvements are higher than my competitors' score guarantees. So create an account and start your free trial today at stellargre.com. Use the code PSYCH for 10% off any membership plan. The link is in the description.